Now, Christian baptism has always been partly about turning to God or repenting, to use the common technical language. Repenting, of course, means changing our minds and our attitudes. It literally means turning around in our thinking and in our behaviour towards the will and the purposes of God. According to the Gospels, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And since the very earliest times, Christians have symbolized their repentance at baptism by wearing special clothes. And in the introduction to this service a few moments ago, one of the phrases was, "Here we are clothed with Christ." Now, there is evidence that in some churches, almost 2,000 years ago, the candidates went naked into the baptismal waters, and then they were clothed in a new white robe as they came up out of the water. Over the centuries, in different places, various traditions developed. And certainly in Europe, christening gowns for infants became popular, and they were often handed down from generation to generation. These days, children tend to be a little bit older than in the past, about when they are brought for baptism. So I don't notice that handing on quite so much as I used to, but maybe that's been a tradition in your family as well. In the Eastern Orthodox Christian tradition, I read that it's common for babies who have been baptized, and again in their tradition, that the baby is submerged naked in the font. That's why fonts of some age are big enough to put a whole baby in them. Don't worry, we're not going to do that this morning. But they're then dressed in special clothes for the occasion. This is the interesting thing that I hadn't realised. They then wear the baptismal clothing for 8 days. I suppose it gets changed, you know, it's not continuously, but there's a tradition that they wear it for 8 days to emphasise, I suppose, some of the symbolism of the baptism. There are some interesting stories and comments about clothes in the Bible. Perhaps you've heard some of them. So, for example, surely we've all heard of this one. In Genesis, the first book of the Bible, near the beginning of it, we learn in the mythology of the Jews that human clothing began in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve stitched together fig leaves to cover themselves and their sense of shame. Later on in the same book in Genesis, we get the story of Jacob, who famously was made a coat of many colours. It was a gift of love to him by his father, which became a cause of jealousy to his brothers. I'm sure you've heard some of our Lord's teachings, which include mention of clothing as an illustration. So, for example, Jesus taught that the flowers of the field are clothed with more splendour than wealthy King Solomon. And he also said, more practically, if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other cheek. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Then on a slightly different tack in the Sermon on the Mount, he warned, watch out for false prophets. They dress up like sheep, but inside they are wolves who come to attack you. And then in the parable of the compassionate Samaritan, beautifully illustrated in one of our windows, the simplicity of applying bandages to begin to reclothe the victim of robbers who had been stripped. It's quite an interesting use of clothing, I think. And of course, the Gospels also mention Jesus' own clothing. According to John, at his Last Supper with his disciples, Jesus took off some of his clothes in order to wash the feet of his friends and disciples. Shortly afterwards, he was dressed by soldiers in a purple robe as a king to be taunted and tortured. And then after that, he was stripped of his clothes to become a worthless nobody to be crucified. And then more elaborately, in the heavenly vision of Revelation, the last book of the New Testament, the writer says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes." The Christian vision of the future of fashion is, in a sense, simplicity and equality. Well, today, surely you've noticed, we're in the midst of an exhibition of clothes. We've got this festival of bridal dresses, and I see that young Henrietta has been lovingly clothed for her christening in some special attire. And, I hope they don't mind me saying, but Jessica and Jeff have scrubbed up well too. As I gaze around, mercifully, no one appears to be naked. In fact, we all have different clothes on. I don't suppose anybody here is dressed identically. And demonstrating a wide range of fashion awareness and preference. Now, of course, for Christians, this symbolism of being clothed with Christ is more than about surface appearances. Our character can be clothed with Christ. Our values, our words, our actions can all be clothed in ways that mean we then resemble Christ. Although our Christian clothing is not always very convincing, is it? I was reminded that Mahatma Gandhi once said, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." A Christian poet called Bianco de Siena, who died in 1434, wrote a hymn, I suppose about 600 years ago, which these days we still sing, and we call it in English, "Come Down, O Love Divine." And its lines include, I think, these beautiful insights. He wrote, "Let holy charity mine outward vesture be, and lowliness become mine inner clothing." Now we pray today that as Henrietta grows, she will learn from her parents and her family, not only about the style and affordability and bargain basements of clothing, I'm sure Auntie Francesca can advise, but that she will become clothed in the love and the servanthood of Christ, so that that criticism of Gandhi won't easily apply to her. So just using this example of clothing today and taking advantage of what's happening with all these dresses, maybe it can be a reminder as we think back on the occasion to look at how do we clothe our lives? What are we choosing to wrap ourselves in? Are we following our Lord's example as closely as we can? And as St. Richard's famous prayer puts it, may we see Christ more clearly, love him more dearly, follow him more nearly, And I guess we could add, and dress like him. More near.